Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning, Dr. Looper.
Good morning, Haley. How you doing?
Good. It's starting to become spring, finally.
Yeah, it's nice. We're starting to get some warmth in the air. Yeah, anyways, I'm concerned about our patients because the snow is thick, the ice is thick, it's starting to warm up. It's going to be a slippery mess out there, and I'm afraid our patient's going to fall.
And it's so, like, poorly paved, plowed. It's just so unstable and wobbly. So, yeah, balance, I think, would be a great thing to talk
about. Good. I looked into this, actually, and I looked to figure out how dangerous is falling. I mean, it sounds dangerous. You're going along and you slip, wah, quam, and you hit your head, right? And that's the end of you. Or you hit something and you break something, and then slowly, over the next few months, that's the end of you. So it turns out that's actually the case a lot of times. The third leading cause of death in the U.S. is accidents, and the second leading accident is falling, and then getting killed from being, you know, falling. But there's lots of people fall and don't die. They just get maimed. Seriously, this is a problem.
So you in your 60s can't balance. Me in my 30s even has trouble balancing. Why is it such a hard thing for people to do? How does it, like, why don't we just have this balance?
You know, that's a good question. And this is a common problem. Uh-huh. One of the ways you can assess someone's age, some actual practical age, is to have them balance on one foot. Mm-hmm. And then if you are, you know, healthy, and everything's working great, you can balance on one foot for about 30 seconds. And if you're exceptional, you can go for a minute or two on one foot. And so it turns out to be a really great way to kind of assess the overall system, because there's a lot of pieces to the system of balance. Now, there's your inner ear. That's a very necessary part of this balancing. There's these little hairs that bend as we move, and the slight little bending gives us the feedback that allows our brain to twitch our muscles. Mm-hmm. Now, balance really isn't your solid. It doesn't work like that. There's always a wobble. And people who are really good at it, you can't see the movement. They're moving. They're pulsing. But the pulsing's really good. As you get older, the pulsing gets coarser, and you start swaying more as you're looking for it, or hopping around.
Yep.
It gets to that point where you start hopping around. And so it's a combination of your inner ear, your brain, your tendons, your muscles, your nerves. I mean, there's a lot of pieces
here.
All of it.
All of it combined.
If there's a breakdown anywhere along the system, your balance goes. Anywhere. Any one of these things doesn't work right, your balance goes. So this turns out, again, it's a really great way to see how well you're doing. It's kind of a global, you know, assessment.
I think also a part of that breakdown would be vision, too.
You're right. Vision gives you the feedback, because if you try to do these balance things with your eyes closed, they're dang near impossible.
Well, yeah, I practice yoga, and we always do balance, and some of our peak poses are balance poses, and some of them are suggested to close down through the eyes. And once I do that, I just go into sway land. I can feel my body go back and forth, and I just lose it. So why don't we naturally have this ability to stay even keel?
We do, but we got to practice. Okay. This is like anything else that we ever do. In order to do it well, we need to practice.
Sleep, eat right, and exercise.
We need to practice.
Yeah.
We need to go all those other basics. Because if anything here breaks, then the whole system breaks. Now, for most people, there's kind of a general gradual decline in the whole system. And so we're gonna mostly be speaking to that. What do you do about it? Is there a way to fix it? How do you compensate for it? What can you do? What can you take? That kind of thing. Our normal show. Mm-hmm. But I do want to mention that occasionally something major happens, some kind of serious thing happens. And so balance could be a sign of a more serious problem. Let me give you an example. Now, these are very rare. They hardly ever happen, but you got to keep them in mind. One is, if you get a tumor of your inner ear, that throws your balance off. And so if your balance just crapped out suddenly, you know, you were doing fine, and now you're wobbly all over, or you fell. You didn't crack your head, but still you fell. Wow, what happened? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes what you need to do is to go to the doctor, have them check you out, have them test you, maybe, you know, run a MRI or a CT scan or something and find out you got some kind of tumor growing in your brain, heaven forbid, or your nerves got some kind of disease. Now, people with MS, their balance that goes. It's one of the things that happens with MS. Or a zillion other neurological diseases, or muscle diseases for that matter.
Or ear conditions.
So it's ear stuff, it's brain stuff, it's muscle stuff, it's nerve stuff. Those are the most common things that show up. It also could be metabolic stuff. It could be salt balance, could be dehydration, could be tendon problems, could be a number of problems.
Yeah, once your blood sugars are low, you get wobbly. Once you're dehydrated, you get wobbly.
Yeah, it turns out this is a really great thing to see if you're working.
Okay.
You want to check, see if you're working? Try standing on one foot. If you stand on one foot, hey, things are working. You just checked a lot of systems all in one go.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't stand on one foot, you got some problem somewhere. You can't tell immediately what the system is, but some system is a problem. And most of the time, again, the vast majority of the time, is not one thing. It's a combination of, you know, a bunch of things together. Like for me, and it's not one thing. I went to do this thing, and the thing is, I just got older,
yeah.
And so my balance went down. Now, here's the thing. Most people just say, it sucks to get old. Getting old's not for sissies, right?
Don't want that answer.
Yeah, that's not the answer. The answer is, what the heck can I do about it so that I can balance better? So let's talk about where you start, depending on who you are. First of all, the most important thing to start with is just standing. And so what you do is you put your feet together. Instead of keeping them far apart, you bring them together where they're touching. Now you have a chair to hold on to, or a step stool, something for balance. And then you hold it, and then you let go, but you didn't let go much. You're right there, and you check your balance. Now, for a lot of people, standing with their feet together is no problem, and a lot of people, it is a problem. So you wobble, that's where you are. Whatever is a challenge for you, that's where you work on. And what you just do is you stand like that for a minute or two every day. And I kid you not, you think, a minute or two? How could that possibly help? No, it does. It does. If you do a minute or two, what you're doing is you're getting your repair cells, because you have millions of them in your body, you right now sitting mm-hmm. there, and you're basically telling them, not with your words but with your actions, this is important to me. I need you guys to fix the stuff that allows me to do this. And they do. They go at it. They are ready to serve. They just need some direction. So whatever you do, that's what your cells work on. Which is, you know, reasonable. I mean, it's better for them to work on the stuff you're doing and prepare you for whatever the actions you're taking, as opposed to them have their own agenda. I mean, they don't have actual brains, right? They're more just instinct, but they're amenable to direction. You can give yourselves direction. They don't speak English very well, so if you tell them what to do, they'll get some kind of vague sense of what you're looking for, but if you show them, then they'll know exactly what you're looking for. And so what you do is you show yourselves. You realize that we have a consciousness and they don't. So our responsibility is to direct them to do their job, but we don't know how to do their job. We don't know how to repair nerve cells. We don't know how to lay down connective tissue. There's a zillion things that they do. We just have no idea how to do. Doesn't matter. They know how to do it. Mm-hmm. We don't need to do it. We just need to set the agenda. So if you think about it that way, you think, okay, I'm taking care of myself.
Yep.
I'm a community.
Yes.
My job is to look out for them all, make sure I don't walk underneath, you know, falling pianos,
uh-huh.
right?
Right?
You gotta keep your eyes open, look around, make sure that there's not that safe that's hanging by
take
a thread.
Take care of your body.
Yeah,
right.
Across the street, go on the other side. Yeah, things like that. Or you know, that glass of murky fluid, maybe you shouldn't drink it.
Mm-hmm. That one doesn't look too good.
You should ask what it is, just on the off chance it's motor oil.
Right?
Right. Wish I had a dollar for every time somebody told me they drank motor oil by accident.
So, okay, now, given our patients have a balance problem, they can start by entry-level ways of practicing their balance.
Yeah, so what you do is you start 2 feet together, and then you practice that. And if
uh-huh.
you're good with that, you're fine. Then what you do is you make your feet go in a line.
Uh-huh.
So the one foot in front and the other foot behind, again, touching.
And
not far apart. Far apart's easier.
Right?
Bring them together. No, well, you can switch different
right.
sides.
Right.
You put your right foot forward or put your left foot forward.
Yep.
And then that'll make the balance harder, because now you're more tippy from side to side. And you, again, hold on to something and work on that. And that may be exactly where you're at. Now work on that. Once you get better with that, now start standing on one foot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, again, 2 feet together, touching. That's step one. 2 feet in a line, that's step two. 1 foot, that's step 3, and that's good enough. I think you need to take it beyond that. I guess step 4 is now you juggle.
yeah, there are a couple more step 4s. You can, like, rotate your body forward to where your raised leg is now behind you. That would be, like, a warrior 3.
Well, there's that. True. There's things you can
you
do.
Can
there's more
stuff
you can
raise your arms simultaneously. yeah, there's a lot more.
Raising your arms really makes it harder. Uh-huh. I've done that. I can actually do that. It's called the tree pose. And you be a tree.
Yeah. That's really hard. And then while you're there, you can close down through the eyes. And then you're in a whole different world.
Yeah, that takes it to another level.
Yep.
100%. Takes it to another level.
Yep.
So, let's go
what
back.
What about, like, balance balls? You know those, like, kind of half yoga balls that are on the floor?
So you could change the thing you're standing on.
Uh-huh.
If the thing you're standing on is solid, it's easier.
Right.
If the thing you're standing on is squishy, it's more difficult.
Uh-huh.
If it will move, it's yet more difficult. Now we're in slackline land.
Okay.
You're standing on this thing. It'll hold your weight up, but it jiggles all over the place. That really makes it a challenge to be able to stand on. There's some tricks. We don't need to teach people how to do slackline. I think that's the advanced course. I think what we really need to go back is to the beginning course. Let's say you notice that you're having a problem with balance just because you're wobbly.
Mm-hmm.
You're bumping into the walls as you're walking down the hall. Or in the morning to get up and you got to hold something to keep yourself from keeling over, fall back into bed,
what
right?
What if, we've had patients come in where they have crazy vertigo and their worlds are turning upside down and they haven't been able to walk for months.
Yes. So what do you do with those things? Now, first of all, if you get crazy vertigo like that, you got to go to the doctor and get it checked out. And I could say more about that, but let me just say, you probably got a piece that's broken, and we got to fix it. Now, once you figure out what's the thing is broken, or you find out nothing's broken, everything's just kind of going cattywampus because of, you know, wear and tear. Now, what do you do? Because the best way to practice your balance is to use your balance, but to use your balance puts you in danger of falling.
Mm,
see,
yeah.
That's a catch-22.
Yeah.
Because most people, if I walk, I'm going to fall. Then I don't want to do that. I mean, I could get to the bathroom because I can hold on to the wall and it's kind of slide along the wall and get there and hold on to things. But if I'm going over to the, out and about, especially over rough ground, we're going to walk across a lawn or an icy sidewalk or something like that. Now we're in a different situation where it's actually dangerous. So I have found there's a device that makes this way, way easier. Now, a walker will work too. But a walker, and walker's great. Walker's, solid. You can get around. This is a great device. But a lot of people aren't up to walker. Their balance isn't that bad yet. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
They can still walk, but they're not that steady on their feet. What they really need is just something a little extra. And the thing that I found to be fabulous, way more than you would think, are hiking poles. Now, we know about this technology. It's called a cane, except for a cane is weak. It's in the wrong position. It's in the wrong height. Your arms aren't particularly strong. When you hold a cane, you hold it down and it's low, and that's not a strong position. Your strongest position for holding yourself up is with your arm perpendicular to the floor. Not down, not up, perpendicular to the floor, and close to your body. That's where you're strong. Your muscles literally are stronger in that position. You can hold more weight and you're better because you've got more options to be able to kind of wiggle around. Now, the thing is, a cane is not designed to be held like that because a cane is designed to, it has an arc in it and you push down on it. And, it's better than nothing, but it's not very, very helpful. Whereas a hiking pole has a grip and a strap. And so you could grab that grip and it's perfect. And that strap gives extra support and it's just the best thing you can get. And it's light. They make them light. They make them either out of aluminum, which is most of them are, and they're adjustable. So you can, if you're tall, you make it taller. If it's short, you make it shorter. And so they're easily adjustable. Not like you have to get out a wrench to adjust them. You just flip this little lever, pull it apart, and clamp the lever back down again just by friction. There's no screw or anything. It just holds itself easy schmeasy. And so it's adjustable until you can get it just right. And there's two of them.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. There's two of them. And because you're not just using one, you got two. So you go from being a wobbly biped that is on 2 feet to being a stable quadruped.
Yes.
You see something? You got four legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really do. And you're so much more stable, you can't believe. And then the thing that interacts with the ground is changeable depending on what you need. The thing that works the best, I found, is this little carbide tip. It's not a spiky tip. It's kind of flat. It's got a little indent in the center that kind of holds it to the ground, and it works beautifully. Now, the only thing I don't like it is on hardwood floors, it'll leave a teeny little mark on a hardwood floor, so you don't at least take it in the house and then poke holes in the floor. If you're going to use it in the house, then there's a little rubber stopper you put on the end, and that way it doesn't mar the floor. But outside, where the sidewalk is, where the rock is, where the ice is, where the gravel is, where the cement floors at the grocery store are, it's beautiful. It works really, really nice because it works on all those surfaces and grips beautifully. You have a nice, solid contact to the ground. So I highly recommend these hiking poles. In fact, I told you to buy some so we can have them here at the clinic. Because I recommend them so frequently. The last thing I want to do is have to tell somebody, give them a task.
Yeah,
to go
and
buy
they
hiking
already
poles.
Are having difficulty, like, walking, so you're just going to give them a mission to go walk into a store to go get these poles. So
yeah, these are cheap too. They're like, I don't know, what? You priced them out. $40 for a decent pair?
Yeah.
$20 for a cheap pair.
Uh-huh.
And you want to get the best pair on the market, it's like $150. But those are made of carbon.
Yes.
And those and they weigh nothing.
Right. And meant for the mountain, and you don't need that.
Yeah, if you're going backpacking and every ounce counts and you're going to pay any amount of money to shave off 3/4 of an ounce, carbon is the tool for you.
But for
everybody else, even the aluminum ones don't hardly weigh anything. So they work beautifully. Again, this is the most fabulous balance device because they're practical.
Are there any supplements or herbs?
Depends on what is wrong.
It's causing the balance.
Yeah, so most of the time what really is doing this is your brain.
Okay.
And what your brain does is it the neurons, deteriorate, the connections between them, the neurons break down. And so this feedback system that needs to be there where you squeeze the muscle on both sides, gets a little wobbly, and it's because your brain's not working well. So what you want to do is you want to do stuff that helps your brain. So, instead of me giving the answer, I'm going to ask you, what helps your brain? What hurts your brain? What hurts your brain? What's the number one thing that hurts people's brains?
There's a lot of things that can hurt.
Yeah, but the number one.
Alcohol?
You're right. Alcohol is bad. Except for people don't necessarily drink alcohol every day. I mean, alcoholics do, and they suffer. Uh-huh. But for regular people doing their regular lives, they're not guzzling alcohol.
Oh, sleep.
Yeah, sleep is a major part, but actually I was thinking blood sugars. Sugars damage, because if you got high blood sugars, one of the parts of your body that suffers the most is your nervous tissue. The reason is real straightforward. Sugar is sticky.
Yes.
So it sticks to stuff. Stuff is what your brain is made of. So now your stuff's got sugar stuck to it. Now it doesn't work.
Sugar stuck to
it.
It
doesn't work like it's supposed to. It doesn't break completely, but it doesn't work completely either. So you're in this kind of weird in-between land where you're not totally broken, but you're not totally working either. That's called wobbly.
Mm-hmm.
You're wobbly at that point. So sugar is one of those things. Now, how do you fix that? What you need to do is get your sugars to go back down and then get your fixer cells up and running, cleaning the sugar off your brain. They can do it. Now, if you keep laying down more sugar than they can clean, then you're going to lose ground. But if you clean more than that you lay down in terms of sugar, you're going to gain ground. Now, there's a real simple test you can do to figure out where you're at on this balance, and that's called an A1C.
Mm.
It's where you measure the amount of sugar stuck to your hemoglobin.
Mm-hmm.
It's called glycosylated. That's a fancy doctor name for sugar stuck to it. Glycosylated hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is a protein. So how much sugar stuck to it protein do you have? That's an A1C. So if the A1C is 5.4 or lower, you're good. You're keeping up. If it's 5.5 or higher, you're losing ground. Now, if you're 5.5, you're barely losing any ground. You're 5.6, likewise, a little more, but not much. You're 6.6, you're losing definite ground.
Yes.
You're 10.6, you're losing ground so fast, you're gonna die of this. It will be the death of you.
Yeah.
Because your body cannot keep up with the amount of damage that's going on. Okay? So now you know.
Yeah.
You run this test, and the trick of the test is, if it turns out that it's broken, don't cry. I mean, you could cry a little bit maybe, but after you wipe your tears, then think, well, how can I fix it? Well, one of the main ways you can fix it is, instead of letting the sugar flow around in your bloodstream, is go walk.
Right.
And you'll just use it up.
Process the
and then
sugar.
You drop your blood sugars. Except for now, I'm wobbly. I don't want to walk. I don't feel comfortable walking. Now you get the sticks.
The poles,
or you're practicing at home, standing on 1 foot or standing on 2 feet together, close, and work on your balance that way. And bit by bit, what you're doing is you're fighting back against the ravages of time. And when you do that, you come out better. You really do. It actually works. It blows people's minds. They get so used to just falling apart as that's the way things go. We just got to suffer. No, we don't. We fight against it. And a lot of times we'll win against the ravages of time. Not, you know, stuff eventually breaks. There's no stopping it. I like to think of it as like a car, because people, you know, they know how to take care of their cars.
Mm-hmm.
If your car breaks, you don't say, well, it sucks to be a car. You know, you get old and now I have just to go out to the pasture and die. No, you go get it fixed. You'll replace the clutch. And now your car's running better. Now, it's not going to run forever, but you can do a lot. You put energy into it, it comes back and you got a better car. Same with your body. You put energy into it, you come back, you got a better body. You just simply put time and energy into it. That's what you do. And even not that much time. The thing that surprises me is how little time you need to put into your body to get it to do what you want.
Right.
Minutes.
People think
a
that
day.
They need so much time. They need years and years and years.
And it isn't.
No.
Minutes. Now, the key thing is, okay, minutes. Will minutes work? You do 2 minutes of this balance exercise once. What is that? Nothing. It's going to do, I mean, is it even measurable what it's going to do? It just really does nothing. But if you do 2 minutes every day for a week, you're going to notice a difference. You do 2 minutes every day for a month, you're going to notice a big difference. You do 2 minutes every day for a year, you changed.
Mm-hmm.
You're a different person. You're not what you used to be. You're this other person that is not like they used to be. Now you balance.
Yeah.
Right? As long as your bits are ready to go and fix and clean. Now, what that's going to require you do is to sleep at night, to eat healthy food, to quit, you know, guzzling tequila, things like that.
Sleep being such an important factor in your stability.
When you sleep, you heal.
Yes.
When you sleep, you fix. You want to talk about those guys, those cells we're talking about
repairing
fixing your bits?
Cells, right.
You're telling them what to do, but when do they do it? At night.
Yeah.
When you're sleeping,
uh-huh.
Mostly. They're cleaning your brain at night. Your brain cleans at night.
And too, hydration is a big part in balance.
Huge.
If you are uneven in your salt levels, you're going to be wobbly too.
And people are dehydrated all the time. They get used to it. That just becomes their new normal. And now they're wobbly.
Yeah.
Honestly, that was part of my problem.
Dehydration?
For me personally. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I forgot to drink. I mean, I got to the point in my life where my drink thing broke. It doesn't tell me to drink. And so I literally have to go out of my way and keep, you know, water, tea around me. Notice I'm drinking tea right now because I know I got to get fluid into me just by the structure of my life, not by waiting for me to get thirsty. If I wait to get thirsty, I never drink. I go the whole day and never drink a drop. It's weird. I get a headache.
Yep.
That's how I show that thirst is coming on for me. So, I don't know. Stuff breaks, but I figure out compensations for it. I just make tea, come in, and it's a habit. First thing I do is make some tea. Then I drink tea, and then when that runs out, I get another cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for me to drink green tea. And at this point, I got used to the flavor. I kind of like it.
Yeah, green tea is great.
Yeah,
jasmine
like
tea is great.
Even better.
Even better. So you're telling us it does boil down to eat right.
Always.
Exercise and sleep. Dr. Looper. This is
good news. It's good news. It turns out there's things you can do to get things to work better. And it gives you a sense of, I don't know, confidence. Like you got a part to play. It doesn't matter what age you are. You could start doing this when you're like 85 and it'll work.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so given, okay, now like with some of the harder cases, like the vertigo or like the imbalanced ear crystals, what do you do in those scenarios?
Okay, so I'll give you an example. There's a thing where you turn your head suddenly and you get dizzy.
Uh-huh.
Or you bend over, and then you pick yourself up, and you get dizzy.
Uh-huh.
And that's a benign positional vertigo.
Okay.
BPV. And what it's caused by is, and it all happens suddenly, like just out of the blue, bam, it hits you. And you're instantly, all of a sudden, doing this spinny thing. What happened in that, or happens in that case, is the little hairs that help you with your balance have little stones, very small stones that are attached to the tip of them. And when the hair is bent, the stones bend, and so that gives you feedback of what your position is. every once in a while, one of the stones breaks loose. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to be glued on, but they don't. They break loose,
whatever.
Are
these the ear crystals?
Yeah, these are little teeny little bits of rock in our brain. And so in our ears, that sits, not in our brain, but it sits on our
head. And so they get loose.
And they bounce around. And so when you turn, these little things start swimming. Because the fluid, as you turn, the fluid stays the same and your head turns. And then the fluid catches up. So there's this thing where things bend. That's how our whole system works. Anyways, the rocks bounce. But keep it simple like that. The rocks bounce. And when they're bouncing, it screws the system up massively. Because you're getting weird signals that do not relate to where your head is in space. It confuses your brain. It makes your eyes jiggle in your head. It makes you feel very unsteady. It makes you feel nauseous. A lot of times people just hurl. It's like being on the tilt-a-whirl at the fair, right? There's something that's going on that's not right. And so this is debilitating. And it takes about 6 weeks to reabsorb that stone. Your body has got a system to be able to either to capture the stone or just to dissolve it as it flows around. Now, there's a capture position in your brain where there's a little cup. And the stone goes bounce, 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 plink, right? And you put the ball in the cup. It's right, like golf in your ear. So how do you do that? What you have to do is you have to spin the fluid in a particular pattern that sends it around and plops it in the cup. It's called an Epley maneuver. Doctors know how to do this. And so you lay down, and you lay with your head off the edge of the bed or the table, and then you turn it, and then you sit up. You do the turn and the sit up at the same time. And that'll send the stuff around and get it to lock into place. And then don't jiggle too much. Quit with the handsprings.
Wow. That's
start
wild.
moving slowly. Because if you can get that little stone to settle in that cup and then just kind of glue in, you're golden. You don't have it. You just got cured.
Mm-hmm.
So the chances are pretty good at doing an Epley maneuver and getting this thing to go away. It's not 100%, but, you know, you do the best you can. And then in any case for this particular condition, you'll be better in about 6 weeks. Now, 6 minutes is too long. 6 weeks, are you crazy? 6 weeks is like really, really, really long to be suffering from this.
Oh, absolutely.
So we want to try everything we can.
I have had family members, elderly family members, who have had their rocks, their marbles get loose. And it's, debilitating. It's pretty hard to watch, them go through.
It's hard because they're nauseous and they can't do anything, can't go anywhere, they can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay perfectly still, you're okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that
okay,
doesn't
now
work
I'm
for
hungry.
Very long. Yep. Now I gotta move my body.
Right? I'm restless.
What about nervous system? If you have too activated of a nervous system, is that something that can impair your balance?
Depends on what you mean by activated.
Mm.
Are we good for time?
That I don't know. It feels like it is. It feels like we don't have enough time.
I think
time.
We just got to cut it off right here.
Okay. Wonderful.
All right, Haley. Very good.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.